The world is going to get introduced to Courtney Boyd on the D1 level, the new head coach at Valpo University. And Courtney, it is a pleasure to be with you. Before you speak, I want to just break it down a little bit for our viewers. Courtney is a former national champion as a player and as a head coach. She's only 39 years of age. And in 7 of the last 8 years, she's won 20 or more games. She's been a head coach for 9 years, and this is her first year at Valpo. So, Courtney, it's a pleasure to meet you, and congratulations on all your previous success. Obviously, that's part of the reason why you're at Valparaiso. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, well, first things first, thank you so much for having me. Woke up this morning with a little bit different energy, being able to be in the same screen as you. So I really appreciate being here. A little bit about my background, all over the place in a short amount of time, I think. But I was fortunate enough to play on some really successful basketball teams, whether it was way back in high school. I feel like I had some old school coaches that made me a little bit tougher in Jerry Jerome. But then I actually went to a junior college, which is nowadays, it's a little bit different landscape. So some of the best years of my life, being able to be coached by Coach Kim Moore, very, very historic guy there. He's winning a lot of games, but we were able to do that my sophomore year. And so
that's at Kirkwood, right?
That was at Kirkwood, yes. Yeah, and so he's still there. We always ask him, what are you still doing there? He's like, I have a great setup. Why would I leave? I'm like, you're not wrong, coach. So he's a great guy. And honestly, he's been a great mentor for me throughout, going from playing to coaching. And I call him when there, you know, questions come up, or what should we run, or who do you play in this situation? All of those types of things, just him being in those situations for multiple years. And he has a different landscape. And the older you get, apparently the softer you get. So we remind him that he was much tougher on us than he is on the players he has right now. So
is that you? Are you getting, you're young, so you got to be tough.
Well, I feel like I'm tougher than what he has right now, but I will never forget the two times that I got an earful. One of them was an entire timeout, to be honest with you, from him. So I turned the ball over one too many times, and he was not happy with me. But I do feel like I've been fortunate enough to come across a lot of good coaches and a lot of great mentors, and I just feel that everything happens for a reason. Sometimes you have your highs, sometimes you have your lows, but I did not play Division I basketball. I have not coached on a Division I staff. And fortunately, I got a text message phone call in early spring, and here we are at a Division I in a mid-major in a very talented conference. So whatever happened in the past, highs or lows, I'm very excited to be here.
Tell us about coaching the national championship, the climb through that, because that's a journey that not many people get to take. And you're young and you've already done it. And I'm imagining there are, and assuming there are, certain lessons along the way that you've learned that have allowed you to be able to do what you're doing at Valpo right now.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of the coaching through it is probably, and everybody says it's the process. Well, when you're in the middle of the trees, you can't see through them, right? And so that process is, are we ever going to get there? What is the process for? But one of the most incredible experiences, whether it doesn't matter, basketball is basketball, but I was at the NAIA level, and they do a really good job of making it as NCAA as they can. And I don't know who's going to come at me for, you know, saying those types of things, but when the confetti popped, I think that was an experience in that moment. We actually had our bench players on the floor. And so our starting lineup sprinted to our bench players underneath that confetti. One of the most incredible experiences I've ever been able to be a part of. And you just don't see that very often, but the pictures that I have of the players that played so many minutes holding each other back on the bench because they couldn't wait to get to their players that played scout team for so many days for them. Right. That day and that experience, that summarized what the importance and the excitement of the process was. It took a while. It took a while to get there, but it was worth it.
I want to talk to you about walk-ons for a second. Okay, scout team players, players at the NAIA level, or even, do you have any walk-ons now? Do you have any? Okay, how many do you have?
We have one. We have one.
Okay.
Right now.
So I'm just going to throw this at you because we're getting to know each other and everybody else wants to know how you think. So I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm working on a story right now that has to do with what I call the walk-on metric. The way our game is set up with net efficiencies, and especially on the men's side, coaches are reluctant up 25 or 30 to put their walk-ons in. They don't want to put them in because they're afraid one or two possessions is going to affect their net. If you look at the course of an entire season and you play 30 games, just for easy math, and you blow out a team 10 times, which doesn't usually happen, but 10 times, and that's two or three possessions each game that you put somebody in that lets them go up and down and not just dribble out the clock, maybe take a shot, maybe play some D, maybe drive, get to the free throw line. And you add that up, it's like 30 possessions on the entire season. I'm trying to create a metric for that because I think if you present that to the committee, I think it'll make it easier for coaches to reward the end of their bench. I think they want to, but I think they're afraid to. And when the crowds are chanting, put Courtney in, Courtney, Courtney, right? You feel pressure to put Courtney in. All right, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, when you find that metric, I am ready for it because that is my personality, honestly, to a T. We have scout players and every team has scout players and, you know, how you structure your practices and your recruiting process. But that person or people, you know, the persons that are your walk-on players, they do the exact same thing that your top five are doing, or they should.
Right, they do.
And so they're spending the time, you know, they're getting yelled at, they're getting rewarded, they're getting the food or the early morning workouts or whatever it is. And so now it's their fault that we're up 20, but they're only a walk-on, so we can't put them in the game. The whole thing seems backwards to me, but I completely agree with you that to me is more rewarding. Just like I said, it was more rewarding to win the whole thing and see our starters run to our bench than vice versa.
Yeah, it is rewarding to see all that work be given an opportunity to shine on the highest spotlight and give a chance. It's all that they know going into it, they're not going to play. But when the score is 25 or 30 and you don't put them in, it might just make them feel like, you know, I'm doing all this, maybe I can get a chance.
For sure.
It's interesting. I'm going to find a metric for it. And it's going to be something that you're going to be able to submit to the committee when you get your team NCAA ready. You're going to show I played my walk-on. At the highest level in D1, there's a second level bench now, right? Do you have a second level of bench? You got people behind your the second row?
Yeah. Depends on where we are. Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. Of course you do, right? So those people are tracking analytics, possessions, keeping track of a lot of different things. There's no reason why they can't track the walk-on metric and submit it to the committee. Seems
exactly
pretty simple to me. I'm pushing for it.
I'm ready for it. I'm excited for it.
I think it's the one thing still left that feels like college in our game.
That's a really good point. And I honestly agree with that. So I'm excited for that.
All right, so we're talking analytics. So give us a feel for the balance for you. You know, validating what you see, validating what you're working on, or is it driving you to do certain things conceptually?
Yeah, you know, you think that you have in your mind, these are the type of players that I want to have, and this is the type of system I want to run. And then you take a job, and you have almost what you want in the player and almost what you want in the structure of your X's and O's. And so then what? I've talked to my staff a lot. It is not about who wins and loses around the table in the office. It's not who wins and loses between coaches and players. How are we putting our team in the best spot to be successful or as close every night as we can? In order to be successful until we figure out what the big picture, molding everybody together, finding the right type of players for the right system. And that's where we are right now. So we are conceptually getting to where we need to be game by game. But I will say it's been a battle. We knew that there was going to be a challenge. We had 8 players return. We have 8 newcomers. We have a whole new staff. I brought 2 of my staff members with me, and the other handful of staff members are new. So we were all trying to figure each other out. And I'm not the only one in the nation that's doing this, right? But I did take, you know, I took a few risks with our X's and O's in order to create the culture and chemistry that we want down the road, because the nature of the way that the game is going now, we could have players come and go all that we want, but if we can keep the one base of who we are and how we want to operate, if we start with that, I'm hoping that draws a little retention and we can get some things going here in the second semester.
So for those of us that didn't see your NAIA and your D2 teams, tell us a little bit about style. Like, what do you want to do? And what will we see?
Yeah, I was a point guard. And so I want our point guards to be pushing the basketball. You know, the women's game is what it is now, and it's incredible. And everybody loves watching it. And so you don't want to be a team that's scoring 40 points every night, right? Because you're not... In a lack of better terms, you're not keeping up with the Joneses.
Please. Like,
right? You don't want to call the game. Nobody, I mean, come on. So
I've got Oklahoma State coming up. I think whoever has the ball last in that one, they're 2 top 5 teams. Like, it's all offense. And, you know, that's, if you don't know anything about me, you know, I care about offense.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, I know. And I think that there are days where I'm thinking, what are we doing with how are we getting stops? Because we couldn't put the ball in the hole that day. But I want to push. I want to push and transition. Our transition creates our offense. And when we can't get those easy buckets, it's either because we weren't getting stops on the defensive end to create that space and kind of the pace of play that we want, or we're not making the decisions that are open. We're forcing a lot of things, and one-on-one in our landscape of what we do offensively is not always what we want to do. So if we can get into transition, I feel really good about it. And then we play with the traditional post. And so we either go into some Princeton looks, or we'll go into like just a 4 out, 1 in. Everybody loves a ball screen. My staff's trying to talk me into a continuity ball screen right now. So I'm pushing back a little bit about that. But, you know, if you have the right players coming off the ball screens, then it's a no-brainer. But we just need to make sure that we're putting them in the best position. And like I said, it's not as much one-on-one, but if you have the players to do it, why won't you let them play freely? So that's offensively. And then defense, I love defense. I know I was a point guard and I wasn't as great of a shooter. I couldn't score it like you could, but I love to pass it. And so when I could create those opportunities, and I got those opportunities off of defense. And so I kind of fell in love with it when I was younger and carried over to coaching. So we play a lot of man-to-man, and then we'll throw some press and some zones here and there.
I love it. So there's a lot of different ways that you can win. There's a lot of different styles that you can play. And I think the variety of styles makes a team harder to guard. And that's what we're trying to do, right? Trying to score. So you just want to be as complicated and as simple as you can.
Yes.
On offense. Your path is so interesting and unique. You definitely have a credential past that allows Valpo to, like we like to say, win the press conference. So they won the press conference when they hired you, because there's nobody that can doubt what you've already done, and you've done it at such a young age. You've been a head coach for 9 years and you're only 39. You've got another 30 years to go. What drives you? Like, where does the passion come from for every day to know that you've already been to the top at the level that you performed at? And that's not easy to do, because it's against like resources. So you're going against similar competition. Now you're taking a step up. What motivated you, Courtney, to want to move up to the D1 level?
You know, the passion that I have for the game. And I've always said, I played with, I had great teammates, don't get me wrong, but I, like I said, I never played at the Division I level. And so there was always a little bit of me, a lot of me now, but a little bit of me at the time that wanted to coach the highest level player that I could. I love to be challenged. I love them to look at me and say, why are we doing that? And how do we get there? Mm-hmm. And, but also then watching them grow. And I know that there's great players everywhere. Obviously I've been fortunate enough to be around all the levels. But there's something different. There's something different at this level. And when I figure out piece by piece what that looks like, my passion, that's one thing that has been missing in the past, is I'm trying to get full teams that they're never going to match coaches' passions. That's why you're a coach, right? We all have a little, something's missing up there a little bit. That's why people coach. But if we can get a team that's as close to our, the passion that we have as a staff as possible, it's going to be a really fun group. And I think that that carries over to the relationship piece. So not only the passion that I have for the game, but there's only so many professions you can have where you are fortunate enough to have an impact. And I've always valued the relationship piece and how we recruit and the type of players we're bringing in. I've been to places where the people on campus are what make it. And I've been to places where the people on are what don't make it. And so you follow the people that challenge you, but you also follow the people that that are like-minded of you. And I feel like here at Valpo, I've honestly, whatever everybody else says, I do feel like the right people are in the right places right now. And so the relationships and the passion have really driven me to this point.
And it's not just jumping in the D1 level, it's going to the Missouri Valley, which forever, for decades, has been known as a great coaches league. There are some talented coaches in this league, and I could start naming every school. I could just rattle them off. What is exciting about that, about matching up against some of the best at the D1 level at the Missouri Valley?
Yeah, exciting and humbling all in the same. I think one of my first meetings was a Missouri Valley Conference coaches meeting, and we all, you know, so everybody else jumps on Zoom. Of course, we have to meet in the same room, and I'm looking around like, what am I doing here? You know, and so it kind of hit me that day. And again, the challenge, you don't want to be, some people do, but I don't want to be the best at a level that, you know, you get to show up. You don't have to prep. You don't have to look through things. You aren't challenged. There's not ups and downs. That's not exciting to me. There's too much that goes into this profession day in and day out to just show up and yeah, we're the better team. Yeah, of course, that's great eventually. But I love the challenge, and every single team, I would say on any given night, we're going to see a different style of play. We're going to see zones. We're going to see pressure. We're going to see a ton of offense. We're going to see some high low looks with two posts. We're going to see really talented guards. I mean, and there's all the in between. And so that's what we try to do with our schedule. Obviously we had minimal to do with our schedule this year, just due to coaching changes and things, but that's what we're trying to do going forward, is how many different styles of play can we see in the non-conference? Because when we get into conference, if you're not ready, you're not ready. And so that the challenging part of the coaches is they're just as good at with 3 seconds left as they were with the game prep in the first three quarters. So every day is going to be something where we have to show up. And if you didn't prepare for it, they're probably going to expose it. But I think that only makes us better as a staff, and going forward is going to make us better as a program.
Well, Courtney Boyd, we're looking forward to watching you and watching your journey at Valpo through the Valley, especially your first year. And we wish you well. Thank you so much for being on Nothing But Net with us today.
Yeah, so grateful to have you invite me here. So I appreciate that. Thank you.